Today's reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
So that reading from Corinthians, I think I could probably do it without the words. I've done it very, very often, usually at weddings. Once or twice at funerals by special request of the family, but mainly at weddings. It doesn't matter whether these people have been active Christians, churchgoers, or never darken the door of a church and have just come for a wedding. There seems to be that desire to have that reading. Yet, it's kind of taken out of context a wee bit. The whole point of the reading, sitting where it is, has to sit between and around something else. And to take it in isolation can take it out of context. And we can focus in on the wedding, the celebration, without understanding what Paul was trying to communicate. And so we come to the point when we have to rethink and ask the question, what is love? Because I really do believe we are in danger of conflating the ideas of romantic and emotional love with the ideas that Paul was trying to lay out. But in truth, they are quite, quite different. Paul embeds this bit of his teaching, this bit of his letter, in quite an unexpected part of his epistle to the church in Corinth. He's looking to ground something within their understanding. Our modern Western ideas of love are very limited, but as we read and we go through Scripture, the godly love that emerges is much more complex, much richer, much deeper, much stronger. Here it's about wanting the very best, not for yourself, but for the other. Seeking ways to bless and nurture, not yourself, but the other. It contains the sense that their needs, not their wants, their needs are important, and that they themselves, just as they are utterly important to God. The ministry of the church, exercised without regard for this other person, without love, without the love of God tempering and guiding our words and our actions, can be corrosive, can be damaging. They can be diminishing of the other, while enlarging our own self-importance, or justifying ourselves, or the rightness of our hard words that wound and push others away from God. And we can testify to that in the history of our own denomination and in fairly recent years, all the divisions and arguments that the church has in public about so many issues, and it just splits and diminishes and belittles some as if they are somehow wrong. They themselves are wrong and we are right. There's not a lot of love in that. If we're a church where it expresses its various ministries for the benefit of the one who does the ministry, then we've missed the point. Your ministry, our ministry, is there for the benefit of others. Whether you're the preacher, the teacher, the musician, the person at the door, whoever, it's got to be there for the benefit of everybody else. Or we distort it somehow. Our service for God, our devotion to God, is only complete and at its best when it's saturated with one thing, and that's love. Not our love. Our love is partial. Our love is limited. Our love can run out. But God's never can. And so when we seek His love to fill all that we do, He makes our faithful actions effective, even when we're not very good at it. His love makes our service something that draws other people more than we can possibly imagine or understand. I've met other people in the journey of my faith whose every word was drenched in God's love and care. And rather than a clanging gong, their words, their very presence was like music to the ear. They fed your soul. They encouraged you. They were a blessing to you. And their words weren't fancy. They weren't great orators, but they loved. And there are others whose service is somewhat more limited, but where it's done in love, not from a position about what they will receive, but about where others will receive. And that service was given in love. They gave the most valuable thing they could give to those around them. When we get a hold of that greatest thing that is love, we find it easier to speak to those that we would normally cross the street to avoid. We find it easier to reach out to those that we would otherwise reject because they make us uncomfortable and they're not like us and they're different. Ultimately, love helps us get over ourselves and lets God work through us and around us. And a lot of the times, if you're me, in spite of us. Some have taken the idea of accepting love to an extreme, and that they will let anything go in the name of love. They become more like doormats. Any challenge and change demanded in the gospel is put to one side, and all their view is consumed in that little phrase that they're expressing God's love. But if your child, one of my children or grandchildren, kept reaching out to put their hand in the fire, wouldn't we stop them? We would stop them and say that we're loving them by stopping them, because what they're doing is going to hurt them. When we share the gospel and it's disciplining, it's reshaping of life, some can kick back. Like teenagers reacting to parents' rules. Life's so unfair, stomp, stomp, and they leave. It can be sometime later that they eventually see that what their parents were trying to do was actually a loving act to keep them safe, to keep them from harm. And I'm sure we can all look back in our own life story and see examples of that. So how do we express God's love within the church? Well, the easiest starting point is to look at the ministry of Jesus to his followers. What did he do to show his love to them? First of all, he shared his life with them. They were with him 24/7. I am not saying this is an example where you have to invite strangers into your home and let them live there 24/7. That might be a bit extreme. But he shared his life and his living with him honestly and openly. He taught them. He fed them. He led them. He corrected them when they got it wrong. And he encouraged them all the time, when they got it right and when they got it wrong. He also let them see him, the inner him. He taught them how to pray. He sent them out to share the good news with others. He delighted in their reports when they came back. He let them see him weeping over Jerusalem. He lived the relationship he had with the Father so that they could learn how to do it too. He met their needs. He healed, even if people left him after and never even came back to say thank you. He forgave when they got it wrong. He loved. And each one blossomed under that love and were transformed. Each one, even Judas, was transformed in that relationship he had with Christ. When we think about ourselves, we can imagine that there's no way that we can do that. We don't have the strength to do that. We don't have the resources to do that. And you're absolutely right. The only way we can truly do this is to allow ourselves to be filled and fueled by God's love in us. And that means letting it in, lowering our guard, being able to get to the place where that love will challenge and change us too. When we let this love of God flood our hearts, the Christ light in us shines more brightly, and the world is a little less dark, and people can see. Some will be drawn to the light, others repelled by it. Our job is not to judge them, just to shine. In our community, we have to declare the gospel, not by aggressive debate or demanding rules of compliance or conformity, but by taking people as they are, lovingly seeking their best in God and enabling that journey in their life. And some may journey for a time and then move away. And that's not failure. That's not on our part. That's God's dealing with them. God's purpose may have been for us to simply help them take one more step. Others will laugh at us and mock us. And our natural response is to defend ourselves and get indignant. But Christ never defended himself, even in the face of the cross. Our justification is not from our lips, but from his before our Father in heaven. Our ministry is to model divine love in a world that so many need to know it. And we're doing it. We are doing it. And so many of the activities of this church's life, we are doing that. And it overwhelms me when I come in here at parish nursing, or the times I've dropped into the Connections Cafe, to see love in action, accepting love, given to whoever walks through the door. Still is a powerful thing. But where else might we be asked to display that overwhelming love, and that the Spirit might just be bringing to our mind's eye a face, a name, a situation, or a circumstance? We might be good at showing that love in some ways, in some places, and not in others. And maybe this is an opportunity for us to reflect and see where God might be leading us on. I can only encourage you to take a moment and ask God to fill you up with his love afresh, to teach you how to shine for him wherever he places you. For that reading from Corinthians sits not on its own, not about a wedding, not about relationships. It sits between Paul's teaching about the gifts being utilized in the ministry of the church that was blossoming in Corinth. So this love is to be fundamental to the ministry of his people. It's not separate. It's integral. And it's easy when we sit as a big group of people, and I'm so encouraged to see that it's a big group of people, that we think that some people's ministry is not for them, that they're somehow different, me too. And that what you can do is really nothing. Read Corinthians again, because Paul's not saying that. He's saying that every single one of you exercises a ministry in Christ, no matter how great, no matter how small. But what he's encouraging each of us to do is make sure that whatever that ministry is, that it is infused with this love of God that is strong, that is constant, that is true, that is forgiving, that is powerful, that is accepting. And we will see the smallest ministry blossom and flourish before our eyes because God is right at the center of it. Just as we talked about last week when we were encouraging mission to be that moment of encounter with God that we bring people into, this kind of ministry infused with God's love is exactly a form of that. It's a moment of encounter that people can have through you with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We join in that wonderful ministry, that ongoing presence of God here. With that love in your words that fills your actions, you will drip into the world the very presence of God. And you will be a blessing, because you already are, even if you don't understand that, and even if you don't recognize it. But it's not something we can learn from textbooks. It's something we have to live and to do. And when we get it wrong, and when we fail, that's okay, as long as we don't stop at that point. But we take that and we go back and say, hey, God, I got that wrong. Help me to get it right. Lead me in this deeper way with you. So I encourage you, as we think about what the church should be like, could be like, the possibilities, the potential within it, all of that, all of it, must be filled by God's love, or it won't last. And we want to leave a permanent mark in the world. We want to build his kingdom, and that will last. So invite us all of us, me too, just to think, where am I not letting God's love fill me up? Where am I not letting it flow from me to others? And see where God might lead us and change us and grow us and renew us, because he hasn't stopped giving us his full attention. He hasn't given up on us. We are not the finished article. Amen. Thanks be to God for that. Because if this is the finished article, we're all in trouble. But he has such a bigger plan for each one of you. I just encourage you and invite you just to walk into his embrace and let him hold you. So I'm just going to give you a moment of two, just in quiet. Jan, I'm going to put you right on the spot here. Could you just play a little bit of something for us? Just a minute or two. Just to let people reflect. Anything you like. See, I put her right on the spot. Sorry. I should have maybe warned you. But then I'd have to actually know I was going to do this before I opened my mouth. But as I've opened my mouth, thank you very much. Just anything you like. Just gently. Just take a moment in your own thoughts, folks.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Loving God, God who is love, fill us afresh, we pray. Where our love is partial and incomplete, renew us with your overwhelming love. Where we carry wounds from the past and burdens of the present, may your love so fill us that it gives us the strength to forgive, to release, to be restored, to be healed in you, that we may each find fuller life, more rich life in and through you. And as we unite as a family in this place, so clarify our vision of who we are in you, how we can change the world, or at least this small bit of it that you've given us, to build your kingdom here. Breathe deeply within us, Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh, empower us anew.